Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to Romans chapter 15 again as we begin the home journey of finishing off the letter. And we find ourselves looking at verse 7 through to 13. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which is truth, and we just pray that you would help us to have hearts to believe what you have to say. Would you speak to us, and would you give us ears to listen, eyes to see all that you are saying in your word? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 15, starting at verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come. Then he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Well, the way you welcome people in your home says a great deal about what you think of them and also the purpose for having them in your home. For example, we foster children. If you're not a New Zealander, that's similar to adopting, but you don't get to adopt them, so you just care for them for a period of time. And we often have social workers coming in and out of our home as they come to check on how the child is doing, have conversations with us. Now, when a Oranga Tamariki, if you don't know what that's the agency in New Zealand that looks after foster children, when they come into our home, we welcome them in. They come to the door, they knock on the door, they don't open the door, they knock on the door and they stand and wait. And then as I open the door, I'll shake their hand and welcome them in. And they'll come in with their briefcase and they'll quietly walk through the home and they'll sit down. And we start talking straight away. We have a little bit of pleasantries back and forth, but generally speaking, it's business. We sit and we talk for a bit, the job gets done, and then they leave again. I walk them out, I show them out. As soon as they're out the door, they put their shoes on, I close the door and off they go. Now, when a friend comes, they come and they knock on the door and they'll wait there and they'll be popping their shoes off and putting their stuff down, and I'll open the door and I might give them a hug depending who they are, or a kiss and shake their hand and welcome them in, and I'll throw open the door and I'll let them in, and I'll say to them, can I get you a drink? Would you like a cup of coffee? Are you hungry? Come in, sit down. And we'll spend our time discussing what's going on with them, how their children are, and I might hug the children and welcome the children. It's a very different feel. When my parents come, it's something different again. When my parents come, they won't knock on the door. In fact, my mum almost always does the same thing. She walks up, she puts her things down, she opens the door, she puts her head through the door and goes, yoo-hoo! And we know that mum has arrived. And the children from wherever they are will hear the call and come running, and they'll run up and give her a big hug, welcome her home. And she'll walk in the house and I'll just put coffee on because I know she loves a cup of coffee when she comes. And then we'll spend time together and we'll do different things that I wouldn't do with other people. We'll relax in a different way and talk about different things. And the way all of that plays with different people expresses different things. To the social worker, it's not an expression of my familial or friendship love with them. It's an expression of the business arrangement that we have together. My expression to the friend is an expression of my love to them in a friend way, whereas the expression to my mother is an expression of intimate and dear love. Well, the same thing is true in the way that we embrace one another in the church, in the way that we welcome one another as Christians. And so Paul says in chapter 15, verse 7, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, I made mention of this at the end of last week in our last devotion as we thought about one people glorifying God with one voice. And all of chapter 14 and the beginning of chapter 15 is all about that togetherness, that unity in God that we have, that unity in Christ that we have as God's people, as we live out life with differences of opinions. And yet we're able to set those things aside in order to be together as one people. And what flows naturally out of that is this command that Paul gives that we are to welcome each other. But we don't just welcome each other how we all believers right. We don't welcome one another in the church as we welcome one another at home. But the example of how we love each other by welcoming them is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We are to welcome one another for God's praise and glory in the same way that you have been welcomed and I have been welcomed by Christ into the family of God. So, in order to welcome one another, then we need to ask the question, how does Christ welcome people? How does Christ welcome you? How does Christ welcome me? And Paul answers that question by dealing with Jews and Gentiles. How does Paul describe the welcome of Christ to Jews and Gentiles? Well, firstly, speaking of the Jew, he says, I tell you, verse 8, Christ became a servant to the circumcised, that is, to the Jew, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. So how did Jesus welcome the Jews? Well, he didn't stand at a distance over there somewhere and shout with a loud voice, hey, Jews, come and get saved. No, no, he came. He set aside the glories of heaven and came and served in this broken world to declare the truth, the truthfulness of God, and to confirm his promises. And this is expressed really beautifully in John chapter 1, where it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Father, full of grace and truth. So he came and he expressed the grace and truth of God by being manifested among us and serving a people. And of course, we know that that servant work of Christ took him all the way to the cross, didn't it? Took him all the way to the cross, and he bled and died in order to welcome the Jews to the Father. But it didn't just apply to the fathers, but as he expressed the truthfulness of God and confirmed all of the promises of salvation that had been given in the Old Testament, what became apparent was that those same promises which extended to the Gentiles became true. See, it's interesting, isn't it, that he says, in order to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. And of course, we think of all of those promises which spoke of the blessing of Abraham, not just going to the Jews, but being a blessing to the nations. And so Paul takes that same passage, which he's dealt with over and over again before in this book and in others, of the blessing of Abraham going forth, the blessing of the patriarchs, the promises given to the patriarchs. And he highlights the way that Jesus welcomed not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. As he came to serve one group, he also served the other. And so Paul says, in order, verse 9, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. The work of Christ in coming and serving and reaching the Jews didn't create a divide between the Jews and the Gentiles, but highlighted the mercy of God, which was going forth to the whole world, to the whole nations. Hence, Jesus, at the end of his life, or his end of his time on earth, I should say, he says to his disciples, take this to the ends of the world. Go into all the nations, Jew and Gentile, to all the nations. Go into Jerusalem, Samaria, to the uttermost ends of the earth, and carry forth the gospel, teaching them to obey me, and all that I've commanded. It's that great gospel call placed upon the church to carry forth the truth of Christ out to the ends of the world. And Paul confirms this with four Old Testament texts. So he says, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope." And so here we see the great plan of God in making one people, both Jew and Gentile, both Scythian and Greek, both circumcised and uncircumcised, slave and free, male and female, all brought together under one Father. That is how we are to welcome one another. As we think about church on Sunday, as we think about embracing people into the fold of Christ, into the fold of the church, the way we welcome them is the very same way that Christ has welcomed us in his salvation. Or to say it another way, the only way we can turn someone away is by the same standard that Christ turns away people. How does Christ turn people away? You can think of that passage where Jesus says that many will come to me at the end and say, "Lord, Lord," and I will say, "I never knew you. Away from me, workers of iniquity." Who are the only people that are turned away from the family of God? Workers of iniquity. Sinners who have refused to come to Christ for salvation. And so too is the standard of the church. We welcome all. We welcome all. Only sinners are cast out of the church. All who come to plead upon the mercy and grace of God are welcomed, and so we apply that same welcome within this world. And you might say, how can we do that in a world which is so divided, with people with so many different opinions? How are we ever going to do this? And Paul commits it to us with this wonderful prayer in verse 13. He says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Here's the wonderful thing. We are not left to muscle our way through this, because it's so unnatural for us to be welcoming to everybody. In our fallen state, we only want to welcome people just like us. That's why racism exists. And it's a heinous evil. It's why gender abuses exist, because it's a heinous evil. And yet, we are no longer in a fallen state. We are in a redeemed state. Though the old man still wars within us, our sinful flesh rising up, yet we have been given the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. You may abound in hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So this picture of this one people together with God filling us with hope in order to welcome everybody in the same hope that we have all received. And the Holy Spirit, he himself, working in each and every one of us to do that very same thing. So brothers and sisters, let us be a welcoming people, just like Christ was to you and me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day. Help us, Lord, to welcome all just like you do. Help us not to make distinctions, but to welcome in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you tomorrow.